Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good afternoon. I'm Candace Thomas. This is Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV, brought to you by Farah and Farah. We're here to answer your legal questions. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045. I had a lot of you call last week. So if you're on the line last week when we went off air, make sure to give us a call so we can get your question answered. We're here with Eddie and Chuck of Farah and Farah. Well, actually, we're missing somebody today.
Yeah, Chuck's off today. He's taking his two kids to college and
Settled in. Yeah. Where are they starting?
One's going up to Georgia and one's going to Auburn.
Okay, yeah,
he's got a lot of driving to do.
Lots of good football to be watched at both places. Good luck to them.
He'll be back next week and we'll be back at it. But we're happy to be here today, Candace.
Very happy to have you.
Love coming here on Saturdays, and I always enjoy the questions, first of all, because the questions keep us going. It gives us something to do on Monday morning when we get to office, because half the time I don't know the answers to the questions. But I do have the ability to reach out to other attorneys who do have answers and do practice in other areas of the law. So if you have a question that's not related to personal injury, which typically I can answer, you can call us and we will try to find an answer for you from attorneys that we know. But also, you can always avail yourself and use the Jacksonville Bar Association, which I think is the best deal going anywhere. The Jacks Bar Association has an attorney referral service. For $50, you can talk to an attorney who specializes in the field that you need information about for $50. You get a half-hour consultation with that lawyer. Jack's Bar will find you the attorney. You call their office. They'll set it up for you. It's the best deal going around. These are lawyers that typically charge hundreds of dollars per hour.
Right.
And you get to talk to one for $50 for a half hour. And that's cheaper than calling the plumber out to your house.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you're going to talk to an expert. So that's the best deal. But if you don't want to do that, call me and I'll try to help you. We can always try to, that's always your backup. But, I think we got a phone.
Yeah, it looks like we have somebody on the line. Mitch from Avondale has a question about Social Security and Medicaid. How are you doing, Mitch?
Hey, Mitch.
Hey. Hey. I was a fireman and I paid into the pension instead of Social Security. I was hospitalized and had a bad surgery and stuff. So they applied for Medicaid for me. And I've had other jobs on the side from being a fireman. So I'm like about 17, 22 quarters short. So they denied me for disability or whatever, long-term or whatever it's called. Can you buy your quarters or do you have to work them?
I think you have to work them. Have you applied for SSI?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
You know, you get that regardless of how many quarters you've worked.
I'd have to read it again.
SSD is if you're disabled.
Well, that's what I was going for, disability. But
you got to have to pay it in the required number of quarters. So if you have it, then you could fall back, which is not nearly the same amount of money. It's called SSI. Which you would maybe be able to receive based on your income and so forth. But that's an income. You have to apply for that, and I don't know what kind of situation you're in with a fireman, but in terms of your income and so forth, so you may not even be
able to. Well, would I be better off just to try to work a year or two and get the quarters in? Wouldn't disability be easier be more money than SSI?
Yeah, much more money. But the problem is if you go back to work, it's not my problem. When you go back to work and then you apply for SSD, I think you have to be off of work for a year before you can apply. You can't work.
I can handle that financially,
I'll tell you, if you want to leave your number, I can have one of our attorneys just talk to you about it, what they're going to be looking at when you apply for SSD in terms of your penalty.
I went ahead and started escaping fiscally, to get everything out of my name.
It has nothing to do with money. You could be – the SSD has nothing to do with how much you're worth. SSD is only about your ability to work. If you cannot work and you've paid into the system, you can get the money. They don't look at your financial worth.
Oh, okay.
Because that's money you already paid into the system. I mean, they owe that back to you. That's what it's there for. So,
and I think you can only earn, what is it, 14 quarters you can earn a year or something like that?
Well, I don't know how many quarters you can earn a year. I mean, I know you have to have the required quarters in, but what I was
I think it's 14. I did the research.
Yeah, so you're not that far away from it. But after you, if you can't work after that, if your daughter says you can't work and you can back it up medically that you cannot work, then because you have to go in front of a judge. I mean, typically people.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I understand.
And you got to prove you can't work, and you haven't worked for a year, and you're not able to work. A lot of people, you got people who are educated. Let's say, depending on your education, the judge may think, oh, okay, physically you can't be a fireman, but you could work at a radio station because you know.
Oh, yeah. Judge Moran in drug court asked a guy. He was blind in one eye. He goes, well, why can't you do computers? So,
Eddie, I feel a little triggered by that statement.
Yeah, our producer, Scott's, he's got,
well,
don't worry
about
it,
Scott. Maybe he was eating bad shrimp before 1979 from those people on the side of the road.
No, man, that's the best shrimp there is, buddy.
I got you.
That's the freshest.
Commercial, too.
Yeah, I love that spot.
I got one more question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Have you noticed the cowboy Doc Tony has quit saying, call me, don't go to the ER, and now he's saying, go to the ER and then come to me.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem is chiropractors, which he is, they're not allowed to, under the law, they cannot qualify you for PIP. You know, the $10,000 that you get, that's part of your PIP coverage when you've been involved in an accident. So I don't know where he's coming from there, because he's not a medical doctor, so he can't.
Well, and FSU didn't even build the chiropractic building, about 10 years ago. But I had called you about 2 years ago saying, I was kind of offended that he was doing ferret and ferret chasing y'all, on the air. And I'm like, look here, man.
What
you
got to
wear a hat on TV, buddy.
Yeah.
You should shut up.
Well, listen, I've never met the guy, but
I get freedom of speech,
I guess.
Can't blame a guy for trying to make a buck either, right?
Yeah. Everybody's got to make a living, you know.
Thanks so much.
That's why you have a big building at Adams Street, right?
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
That's a fire pension fund. I like
appreciate
that.
You so much.
That building was named after my uncle, actually.
Who's that, Mr.?
J.J., John.
Okay. Did you know Mr. Dowling a long time ago?
Curtis?
Yeah, he was my next-door neighbor in North Shore.
Well, Chief Dowling.
Yeah, Chief Dowling, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
He was a good friend of me, but that was a long time ago, before your time. But
if you could just leave your phone number with Scott.
With Mr. John Keene.
I sure will.
All right, thank you so much for your call.
We can talk about that later.
Thanks. I think that's one of the things.
Well, we're going way back now, because we had a fire chief right next to our house in North Shore, Mr. Dowling, who was good friends with Mr. Keene, the former head of the pension fund. And they're right across from my office, but they're our neighbors downtown. So.
Yeah, you really are Jacksonville born and raised.
Oh, yeah. We know. We've been here for a long time, Candace, before you were around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So,
So I guess we want to keep those calls coming. The phone number is 855-765-1045, 855-765-1045. And you're just about to delve into what you've been working on.
Well, I wanted to talk about these claims bills. We've talked about this before. When somebody sues the city, county, or state, you're limited to what you can recover.
Right.
No matter how badly you're injured, God forbid you could lose a leg, and you're limited to $200,000, which is the max you can recover. The only way you can get more than the $200,000 limit is to file a claims bill, which you have to file a bill. It becomes law, sort of thing. You go to Tallahassee, you have to hire somebody, or you petition your representative to file a bill on your behalf for you to receive more than $200,000. Doesn't happen too often. There is a last year. In the entire state of Florida, and there are 22 million people here, you can imagine how many accidents involving city, county, and state.
Right.
And people whose lives can really be turned upside down. But last year, with all that going on, I've got the data right here somewhere about the number of claims bills, because it's very few. We have to come back to that. No, I got it right here. Last year, only out of all the 23 claims bills were filed throughout the state of Florida for people trying to get more than $200,000, only 8 passed out of the 23. for a total of $15 million. The largest was $5 million against the Department of Children and Families. Something happened down in Tampa. Another one was against the city of Tampa for $5 million. So 10 of the $15 million went to two people, which means, you know, there was $5 million left for everybody else. So it's not you really your chances of getting more than $200,000
right.
when you do through the city, county, or state, very difficult.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work. It takes more than a year, probably takes several years to get that because you got to go to Tallahassee. You got to file the bill. The bill has to pay. It's got to be signed by the governor. It's got to go through the whole process. We have one pending right now that's been going on for probably, I think, 2 years.
Wow.
One, something happened here in Jacksonville where we filed a claim bill, and hopefully we'll, you know, our client will get what he deserves, but it's a long, tough process.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, we are still taking your calls here on Consumer Law Hour. Give us a call. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Headed into a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. We are taking your calls. The phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045. Right now, we've got Tom from Bay Meadows on the line. He's calling because he has a condo plumbing issue. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Oh, pretty good.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Well, just recently, I live in a townhouse in Bay Meadows, and I noticed that one of my rooms has some mold in it. And so I checked with the air conditioning unit thinking it was that, and it wasn't. And I thought maybe it was the roof, and it wasn't. It ended up being plumbing. And this condominium was built back in the 70s, and it didn't have iron pipes, but it doesn't have a PVC either. It's got some kind of gray piping in it. And I wonder if there was any kind of legal avenue that I have to get it replaced.
Right. Have you, what do you mean by gray piping? Is it a plastic material?
Yes.
Okay. But it's not PVC.
It's not PVC.
Right. Is it leaking? Is that where the water's coming from?
I found where the water was coming from, and I had a plumber replace that and fix it so it would stop leaking. But I've got mold in one room from it.
Yeah, but if it's leaking there, it's going to start leaking other places also.
Right.
So you think it's a piping issue then? Have you notified your homeowner's policy about it?
I notified my homeowner's State Farm, and they said that the policy I had doesn't cover mold or plumbing.
What do you mean? You have a homeowner's policy that doesn't cover a burst pipe?
Does it cover what now?
It doesn't cover a pipe that bursts. Let's say you have a pipe.
No, they said it didn't cover plumbing or mold.
Yeah, I mean, did you read the policy itself? I mean, did they identify where in the policy it says that? Because I've never seen a policy that doesn't cover that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, an insurance adjuster came out there and said it wasn't.
Right.
So no, did I not read? No, I didn't read the policy.
That doesn't mean anything. I'll tell you what. I have an attorney in my office that handles those types of claims. I'm more of a personal injury guy, but that's more of a property damage issue. If you're going to leave your name with Scott, we can be in phone contact with you on Monday.
Okay. Great.
Yep.
All right. So just hold on the line, and Scott will grab your info.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Well. So before we went to break and before we picked up the call, we were talking about some of the work that you were doing otherwise and some of the claims that you were looking at. So,
well, I want to talk about something else right now.
Okay.
I'm talking about safety deposit boxes.
Okay.
Interesting article I saw in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, talking about safety deposit boxes. Everybody thinks you put your stuff in the bank and it's safe and secure.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody, you always think it's almost like a Fort Knox situation, but it's really not. There are no federal laws that govern or require banks to pay you anything if somebody breaks into the bank, gets into your safety deposit box, and takes everything in there. And the banks, what the banks have done to limit their liability, if you read your contract, if you have a safety deposit box, they limit it to the rent. Like some banks limit it to 10 times the amount of rent that you pay for the box. Mm. These boxes are a couple hundred dollars a year times 10. And they limit their liability to like $2,000-$3,000.
Wow.
So really, you really can't look to the bank. If someone breaks into the bank, robs the bank, breaks into the safety deposit box and takes everything, the bank really doesn't have any liability, and there are no federal laws that require the banks to pay you for that. Last year, there were 19,000 bank robberies. 44 of them involved safe deposit boxes.
Wow.
That's not that many, but still, you don't have much recourse.
Exactly.
Now, what you could do, what I would recommend, is that you, because you have a homeowner's policy.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that a couple of minutes ago. Your homeowner's policy should cover any theft from a safe deposit box. You may want to check with your insurance agent and make sure that anybody or anything missing from your safety deposit box is covered by your homeowners. And I know these boxes, you've got to have two people there. You've got to have somebody from the bank, and you've got to, you know, you're the owner of the box has got to be there. So it takes two people to open it up. I've always worried about, you know, you leave the box, you accidentally don't pull the key out right or something, it remains open, and all of a sudden everything's gone. So I would talk to your insurance agent, see if that's covered, and maybe even trying to maybe take an inventory of your box, have a witness with you,
right.
Take some pictures of what's in the box, have somebody there who inventories everything in the box with you, write it out, and keep that as proof, because the insurance company's going to come back and say, well, how do I know you had, you know, mm-hmm. 5 gold rings in the box.
Right.
So you should really take an inventory, write it all down, take pictures of it, and contact your homeowner's agent and make sure that everything in there would be covered by that. I tell you, these safe deposit boxes are really getting more rare. Half of them are empty. Capital One, which is a big, large bank, mm-hmm. since 2016, does not even allow safety deposit boxes. They don't even build them anymore because they're really not money makers for the banks. The banks don't really like them because they don't produce enough money, and there's a lot of upkeep and, you know, security and everything else. So most banks don't even want to carry these boxes anymore. J.P. Morgan's a huge bank. Wells Fargo and Citigroup rarely install safety deposit boxes anymore. But anyway, so there's no... You know, like Wells Fargo puts a $500 cap on any loss from a safe deposit box.
Wow.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Yeah, that doesn't even Chase, sound worth it.
Nothing. Chase has a $25,000 limit, but even that, depending on what you have in there. So if you think it's Fort Knox, it's not Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And the way you would protect yourself is by doing what I just said and making sure that your homeowners would cover any theft from that asset there at the bank.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Right.
That's an interesting one because, like you
said, the more you have, the more you got to worry about, Candace.
Yeah.
You don't have anything, you don't have to worry about having to save to the deposit box.
Because nobody's going to take nothing.
Yeah, because you got
nothing. Life is sweet sometimes.
Yeah. What's that, Scott?
He said life is sweet sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes. And I still got most of it left.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know how much, what you really have.
Yeah. Well, we are still taking your calls here on Consumer Hour Law. Consumer Law Hour. Phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, that phone number is 855-765-1045 as we head into another commercial break. Welcome back to Consumer Law Hour here on WAV. Give us a call. Phone number is 855-765-1045. Again, the phone number is 855-765-1045.
Yes, Candace, we've talked about county court and people trying to handle claims on their own.
Right.
And there's right now it's $15,000. A claim less than $15,000 goes to county court. And in county court, you have the rules of evidence, the rules of procedure are loosened a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not it's a less expensive case to handle, because you don't have to comply with all the rules of procedure. And the judges are more lenient in terms of how the cases are presented. Anything over $15,000, you're in circuit court, and everything there is a fight. And it can be expensive with depositions and all that goes along with a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But anything 15 or under, right now, 10, you know, 15 or under right now, it gives you got some leniency. And we've talked about people who have called the show handling cases on their own, and that the county court clerk is there to help. He's there to help you file the lawsuit. He's there to tell you how to get people served. So there's a lot of resources there at the courthouse and online in terms of how to present your claim. But as of January 1st of 2020, coming up in just a few months, they're going to raise the county court from $15,000 to
$30,000. Wow.
Which is really good. So that means a claim up to $30,000, excluding attorney's fees and costs, can be filed in county court, which means that opens up a whole new range of possibilities of people who want to handle claims on their own. Mm-hmm. Then in 2023, it's going up to $50,000. So a lot of times, lawyers such as myself, we have claims where maybe the person's not hurt that badly. It's more of a county court claim. Mm-hmm. There's not any pain and suffering, but there's maybe some medical bills that haven't been paid. You got a car that's been damaged, and they had no insurance to repair it, or the insurance company is not willing to pay you the fair amount for the vehicle or for the diminution of value in the vehicle. So a lot of those cases, lawyers just can't handle them, or they won't handle them. Now that they're raising the county court up to $30,000, you can do that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So you could probably go to court and get justice, get what you deserve on your own without a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing that's happening. And, at $30,000, that's gonna help a lot. And in a couple of 3 years after that, it's gonna go up to $50K, which is a really good thing. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, looks like we have Jeff on the line from St. Augustine. He has a question about the umbrella policy and motor vehicle.
Hello,
hi, Jeff. Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys doing? All right. Yeah. So maybe about 2 months ago, you know, my wife had a fender bender, and we didn't get anything from the insurance company as far as any lawsuit or anything like that. So then, I guess before time had expired, the lady said she had to go seek medical attention, you know, get some treatment, something like that. Not looking for anything more than just paying for the doctor's bills. But then it just, you know, we just were like, okay, so what do we do if there's something more serious? How do we get protected? Because as far as what the car insurance is going to pay compared to, you don't want to lose your, belongings that you work so hard for. So I'm just looking for an umbrella policy or something like that.
Yeah. Do you have an umbrella policy?
We just called up the insurance company and said we need to get that instituted because it looks like we just don't want to take any chances.
Right. Why? Is somebody filing a claim against you? Is that?
Not really. They're filing, the car, whatever, the car had damages as far as, with their repairs was like $10,000. And I guess just doctor's bills for, we don't know. They didn't even were that specific about what the doctor's bills were for, but just saying that she had to go through treatment.
Right, right. Okay, so what you want to do is, first of all, to obtain an umbrella policy, you have to have a higher limit BI policy. I think it's typically 250. Is that what you have? Is the underlying policy that much?
Yes. We want to go to like a million.
Yeah. But no. The underlying policy. You don't have to have a million with your state farm policy. Has to have a certain limit before you can purchase an umbrella policy.
Okay. All right.
So, you can't have a $10,000 bodily injury policy and have a million umbrella. It doesn't work that way. Typically, you have to have 100 or 250 underlying coverage to get the umbrella.
Okay.
So, but of course, this umbrella that you're purchasing now won't cover the accident. But what you should do, one way you can protect yourself, is this your wife's vehicle?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Whose name is it in?
Hers.
Is it in her name alone?
Yeah, because she's a realtor, so she had the car put in her name.
Yeah, okay. So if the car is in her name alone and she causes an accident, and God forbid it's a big claim, as long as all your assets are held jointly, then you're protected from losing any of that. So what you should do, and we've talked about this many times before, your car should be in your name alone, and her car should be in her name alone. That way, God forbid, if you cause an accident, they can't go after anything that you and your wife own jointly. And I'm assuming everything you have is together. So.
Yes, that's correct.
Like if you have a bank account and you've got $100,000 in it and you and your wife own that jointly, the person that's suing you would not be able to execute and take that $100,000.
Okay, that's good.
So the simple way to do it is to have the umbrella. You want to get probably at least, yeah, get a million because, you know, million-dollar claims. People used to talk about million-dollar claims being a big deal. These days, with medical bills and treatment and future treatment, $1 million is not a big claim anymore. And
oh, yeah.
So people can make a, yeah. I mean, we have people.
I was just reading the person in Jersey with the golf cart that they just awarded him $3.5 million. It was like,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, how about he got hit? Well, that could do some brain damage there, but I mean, I don't know what the injuries were. But we've had claims in our office where people haven't even had surgery, and we've recovered $1 million. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, you can have a wage loss. You got somebody working, I'm just giving an example, somebody working in construction making $80,000 a year who now has a back injury that prevents him from working and really doesn't have any education to get another job, and he's 40 and he could work another 30 years. Well, you take 30 times 80, I mean, that's, you know, $2.4 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it adds up, and that's not counting the medical bills. So, $1 million, I mean, these bills can add up, and the damages can add up. So, getting the umbrella is a good idea, getting $1 million, and and umbrella policies, as you know, now are very inexpensive to purchase. I mean, they're not really expensive. So, you should buy as much as you can get, and at the same time, I would put cars in individual names. And really, the way to do it is you should only drive your car, and she should only drive her car. Because if you're driving her car that's in her name, then you've got that same – you got a problem with the joint assets.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your advice.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for your call, Jeff.
Great day. Bye-bye.
And we've talked about the next issue a lot on the show before. Joel from Keystone Heights has a question about the Roundup case.
Yep.
Yeah. Hi, Joel. How are you?
Hey, Joel. How you doing?
Doing fine, doing fine. My question was, are the people that you're seeing or that the legal community is seeing, are these professional people that are using this chemical on a daily basis, or is this a homeowner who casually uses the product?
It depends. We represent a couple hundred people already. We're actively involved in this Roundup situation. And when we talk to people, it's a variation. Sometimes it are just home gardeners, people that use it around the house for they were exposed to it for an extended period of time. Sometimes it's landscapers, people working in golf courses, farmers. I mean, it could be anybody.
Okay, so the moral to that story is casual use of that product is still dangerous.
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay.
And
that's all I wanted to know was that.
Yeah.
You've answered the question.
Yes, sir. All right. I mean, and then all the people, I mean, right now, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know if you've been following it, but there have been several verdicts against, well, it used to be Monsanto, now it's Bayer. They bought it a couple of years ago. They purchased the Roundup from Monsanto. So, I mean, there have been several trials. I don't think any trial has been lost so far. The most recent one was for $2 billion. In California, on behalf of some people in the landscaping business. So,
is there any correlation to the use of personal protective equipment and still having exposure problems to it?
Well, I think that would help because what they're saying is that there's when it gets on the skin, there's something in the Roundup that allows it to be absorbed into the skin very quickly. And I think maybe that's one of the issues. So if you got protective clothing on, then you're not going to be exposed to it. So obviously, then you wouldn't be in that situation. But, you know, the wind can blow it at, you know, you can be spraying it. The wind could blow it onto your skin unless you have some protective clothing on it.
It sounds like it's even a mist of it could cause a problem.
Yes,
from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you've answered my question,
no
and
problem.
I appreciate you taking my call.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Joel.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye now.
If you have a call, you can call us at 855-765-1045. Rather, a question, 855-765-1045.
Yeah. A few years ago, Candace, we had to handle a case in Union County, Florida, which is near Gainesville, near Alachua County, and it involved a cow that had gotten out. It was a University of Florida cow, had gotten out of the fence and wandered onto one of those rural, the state county roads.
Right.
Our client was going down the road, struck the cow, and it was a very bad accident. And so we filed a lawsuit. It was against the state of Florida. And so we had to go to a trial on it because I just, back then I said, well, the cow's out of the pen. You're responsible for, the cow being out, and, it should have been out. It was the middle of the night. My client couldn't see it. He was going the speed limit. And he just ran right into it. Florida has what they call the Warren Act. It's W-A-R-R-E-N. It's 558.115. And it says that an owner is liable for livestock on public roads. So when an owner of a cow gets out and wanders into the road and something bad happens, they should be held responsible. But you've still got to prove liability. You got to prove that the owner of the cow was negligent in some manner. Just because the cow is out of the pen doesn't mean that the owner of the cow is negligent. That's what I thought. But the law, I mean, what I learned in handling that case is that even though these cows are fenced in, and if you're going down the road, you see the fences. They're all sort of the same height.
Mm-hmm.
Cows have the ability to jump over those fences very easily. So that's what the claim that the University of Florida made, that, look, cows can jump over these fences. If they want to get out, they get out.
Mm.
And they were making the claim that the reason the cow got out is that the calf of the cow had gone, was in another pen, and the mother was trying to get towards back to the calf. But we were able to prove that the gate was not locked securely, and that the cow pushed the gate open. But other than showing negligence on the owner, there's no liability. These cases are not easy to prove because typically, a lot of times they try to argue that some hunters were on the property and they opened the gate. Sometimes storms and hurricanes do things to the fencing that allows cows to get out. And sometimes a tree will fall on a fence, allow cows to get out. So those cases happen more often than you would think. So you've got to really do your investigation when something like that happens, as we did in that case down in Union County.
Yeah.
And we got a verdict, but it took a long time to get the money because, again, you're dealing with the state, and they pay when they want to almost. But that's called the Warren Act, and it covers livestock wandering onto property. And as Jacksonville expands into the rural areas, you're going to probably see some of that, especially out in St. Johns County.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really interesting one.
Yeah. In our case, I think they were trying to claim that a tree had fallen on the fence, but that was long after the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are ways. But you have to prove that there was negligence on part of the livestock owner. And it's easy to prove with the livestock, each cow has an identity on them. So you can prove who owns the animal fairly quickly, fairly easily.
So it looks like we have a call on the line. JR from the West Side has a question about statute of limitations on a court order. How are you, JR?
Hey, JR.
I'm fine. How you doing?
Good.
About 25 years ago, my ex-wife was guilty of fraud, perjury, and grand theft, and the court ordered her to return all the money. And it took me 25 years to find her. And now that I found her, do I have any recourse or just forget about it and move on?
Oh, so she owes you the money?
Yeah.
Was there a court order in the divorce decree to pay you that money?
This was after the divorce decree. It was child support. I didn't know.
Okay. So the court ordered her to pay you a certain sum of money.
Yeah, pay it back.
Okay.
So the money that she received from me, they ordered her to pay it back.
It was that a result of a lawsuit?
No, it wasn't. It was a result of I was in the military, and they garnished my salary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was drawing my salary till I got back over here and got an attorney. And then they ordered her to return the money, and I have not seen it. It took me 25 years to find her.
Is it a Florida court order?
Yes, St. Johns County.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a divorce or child support lawyer, but if you leave your phone number, I'll find an answer for you. But my initial impression is that there's no statute of limitations on that sort of court order.
Okay. My phone number.
Why don't you leave your phone number with Scott, and I'll reach out to someone and get an answer for you. But do you have that's in writing? You have an order from the St. Johns County?
Yes, St. Yeah. Johns County. Yeah. Or court order, St. Johns County.
Was it ever reduced to a judgment?
No, never was. I never received it no further. I kept looking for her, and I finally found it.
Yeah. But it was not, was it reduced to a, after the court entered the order, that was an, it was a judgment ever entered?
No, there wasn't.
No judgment? Okay.
No but, judgment.
Mm-hmm. Because if you had a judgment, then you get interest on the judgment. There's interest on the money. And there may be interest on
it. Well, should I go down and get a judgment put on it?
Well, you may be, you could reduce, I have to see how the court order's worded, but you may be able to go to the courthouse and have it put in a judgment for, because if you get a judgment, then you're like a creditor like anybody else. You're like MasterCard or Visa who's suing to get their money. I mean, you could go, once you have the judgment, you can get the sheriff to go pick up her vehicle, garnish her wages, grab her bank account. I mean, with a court order. I don't think there is, but I'll find out for you. Now, on the court order, though, if she hasn't paid you the money, you have the ability to hold her in contempt of a court order, bring her back in front of the judge. Now that you know where she is, you can set up a hearing in front of the judge, get her subpoenaed to show up for a, you know, to be held in contempt for not paying you the money. Why don't you try that? That may be the easiest way to do it.
That's what I'm thinking, because,
hello?
Due to her, I lost my military career, spent 4.5 months in jail, and just had a really good time. She's married to St. John's County Deputy Sheriff. She was drawing support from me and him at the same time.
Well, did you hear what I said previous? You're kind of coming in and out. Why don't you bring her back in front of the judge, hold her in contempt of court for not paying you the money now that you know where she is?
Yep. All right. Well, I appreciate that.
That would be the easiest way to do it. You could get in it if you wanted to. I mean, you could call. I mean, I can recommend some lawyers to you, but any divorce lawyer should be able to handle that for you.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank good luck.
All right. Thanks for your call. Yeah.
Okay. A lot of commotion on the line, but I understood what he was talking about.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting one.
Yeah, it is.
5 years.
Yeah, it is. She was getting money from two people.
Yeah.
In child support for the same. He's in the military, and I know.
Yeah, well, thank you for your calls. If you have a question, phone number is 855-765-1045. If you're listening to Consumer Law Hour, we'll head into commercial break here on WOKV. Consumer Law Hour here on WOKV. So we are wrapping up. What did you want to wrap up with?
Well, a lot of people, do you really need to read your leases, your residential leases, mm-hmm. when you lease a house? I was looking at a lease last week where it was a friend of mine was injured on the property, and there was a defective condition on the property, and he fell and hurt himself. So we pulled the lease out and started reading it, and what the landlord did, and this is the first time I've seen it, he says, you're leasing the property as is. Now, you've inspected the property. You've had a chance to go through the home and disclose to me any defect or any dangerous condition that you could find. And if you haven't come to me with it, then if something happens, I'm not responsible.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.